This episode of The Honeydew is brought to you by Coors Pure, Upstart, Liquid IV, and EarthFed. More on that later. Let's get into the do.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to The Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing it in the Night Pan Studios. I'm Ryan Sickler, RyanSickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all social media. Make sure you subscribe to that YouTube channel and make sure you subscribe to the Patreon. If you or someone you know has that story that has got to be heard, submit it to honeydewpodcast@gmail.com. If you're part of the community, you know. If you're not, the wildest shit I've ever heard in my life is coming out of you guys, and you have not let me down. It's only $5 a month. I know that's a lot of money for some people, but if you sign up for a year, you get over a month of free episodes. All right. You guys know I record here at the Santa Monica Music Center. We're working with the Outreach Through the Arts with these at-risk youth kids in the Santa Monica Police Department, doing some podcasts with them. So keep an eye out on that coming out. And if you're new here, hey, we highlight the lowlights over here. I always say these are the stories behind the storytellers. We're laughing in the face of adversity. And today's guest, super excited to have on, first time here on The Honeydew, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Steve-O, y'all. Welcome to Honeydew, Steve-O.
Yeah, dude. All right.
All right, so listen, first of all, thank you for doing this.
Of course, man.
I got to tell you, well, plug whatever you'd like first, please.
I'm easy, all man. I'm all things Steve-O. On social media, steveo.com is my website, and got a bunch of autographed shit for sale at steveo.com right now. Posters, books, even some skateboards. But by the time this is out, I bet the skateboards are gone. But whatever, dude, I'm easy.
Well, I wanted to tell you, I saw you, the other night, a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
And that's only the second show I've done in a year. And I haven't seen you for a minute, which I'll go back and tell them the first time I worked with you. Mm-hmm. And you came right over to me. And I don't even look like I looked back then.
Okay.
And you were like, Sickler. And I was like, huh. And I'm standing next to Josh Adam Myers. You talk to me. You don't talk to him. You walk away. And Josh goes, man, I just saw him like a couple weeks ago. And he didn't even say anything. And I go, really? I go, man, I don't think I've worked with him in like 6 or 7 years. And I don't even look like I looked. And he remembered me. He's like, that just happened. I go, yeah, it just happened. He goes, that is so crushing. And I just laughed fucking hard at that. Your Honeydew, dude, I loved it.
Ah, man.
But the time I worked with you, I still tell people
the
about
Ontario this. Ontario Improv, 2011?
It was the old Irvine Improv before they made it the big one.
Okay.
And the first night, they made you stop doing it after this, but the first night you did, remember you used to slice the fucking lemons and squeeze them in your eyes. And I remember doctors coming over and saying, hey, you're going to go blind if you're doing that on every fucking show. That's real acid, like you're going to go blind. Still to this day, the most amazing fucking bar trick with the rolling over and not, I watched you do it. It must've been a dozen times and not a fucking drop, not even close. It never was close. You lit your, this is what you said to me. You lit your hair on fire. And after we got to know each other after a couple of shows, you're like, hey, will you set my hair on fire? And I'm like, fuck no, I'm not doing it. I refuse to do it. I'm like, I can't. I don't know. I'm going to fuck it up. You had some friend come up and do it.
Right.
And then you chewed the light bulb. And do you remember this?
I wouldn't have been chewing light bulbs at that point because that's actually really bad for your teeth.
I
broke the light bulb on my head. And then
you cut yourself.
And then I used the glass to cut my tongue. And put blood.
All over yourself.
Yeah.
And then stood out in front and took pictures with people.
Yeah. It's a tough gig.
Blood on you, bro.
It's a tough gig for comedy clubs, dude.
I remember the next night they're like, yeah, you can't do that anymore. You can't do the blood.
I mean, that was the way that I worked my way into comedy. You know, I thought, let me promise that it's going to be all this crazy stunts and, you know, lure them in with the stunts and then win them over with the stand up. You know, that was how I wanted to do it. I don't know how well that worked, but I just stuck at it. I think the meet and greets did help a lot because when people, the more people you can send home with a photo from your show and then they post it on their social media and let their people know that they had a good time, that's kind of grassroots promotion that helped me out a lot. And as it sort of evolved my comedy, I stopped doing all the stunts like in person on stage because that's just –
You can't forever.
Yeah.
I remember the guy in his 20s that used to do a flip on stage, and I'm like, you better get something else. You better get a new closer, bro. That shit ain't going to happen in your 30s and 40s.
Right. For sure, man. But then what I started doing was putting together comedy that was based on like super huge stunts. And then with my show, I tell the story of these like over the top stunts, and after the bit, I'll screen the footage.
Yeah.
So the footage is exclusive to the tour, and I mean I'm like fucking butt naked with a guy strapped on my back, blowing a load everywhere as I fall out of an airplane. Yeah, that's a closer for my new tour. It's called Skyjacking.
Spoiler alert.
There's a lot to it.
All right, so let's go. Let's go back to you. Who are you? Talk to me, because I know. I mean, I got to know you a little bit over that weekend about clown college, or was it college?
Sure.
Right?
Did we really only work one weekend? I think
like
we worked
two.
More than
I
that.
Think it was two.
I think we worked a fair amount.
And then I would see you, and you really stuck with it, and you've gotten really good.
Dude,
I'm watching you out there. We were on the show together the other night. So where does it all come from? Tell me about growing up and, like, the shit you've gone through.
I mean, dude, I was, like, a rich kid, man, you know? Not like – my dad wasn't born rich, but my dad, like, became very successful in business. And I was born in England, 1974. And then at 6 months old, my family moved to Brazil because dad got the job of president of Pepsi Cola in all of Brazil.
Come on.
Yeah.
The head of all of Pepsi in Brazil?
He was the president of Pepsi Cola in Brazil.
How? What the fuck did he come from to get Pepsi? What was his job before that?
Before that, he was working for Procter & Gamble.
All right. So he's big companies right there already. Okay.
Right. He was just a hustler, man. He just worked really hard. I don't even know if he was like – yeah, he's a smart guy, but like it was more just like hustle. And
wait, I gotta ask you: were you allowed to have Coke and shit around the house at all?
Oh God, no, dude,
you couldn't at all, huh?
No fucking Coke, dude.
What about Coke products? Minute Maid.
That was a big fucking deal too. That was like not to be fucked with, dude.
Listen, somebody once told me, and I've been to Atlantis, and I don't know if it's true or not, but somebody told me that in Atlanta, at the, what is it, the Taco Bell, Pizza Hut, KFC, that's all Pepsi, that it's Coke there. And I can't believe that that's really
fucking
true.
I wouldn't buy that.
So it was a big deal. You guys couldn't have any Pepsi or Coke products.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
Because Coca-Cola had clothing for a while when we were growing up. Yeah.
Uh-huh. But yes, my dad, like my mom, my dad, they were popping off. They were like super successful, especially because if you're making a good living in Brazil – like you're super rich because like
what
the
did
cost
your mom do?
Mom, she was a nurse. I think she like just stopped with the nursing school, you know, and became kind of a housewife. But yeah, their shit was popping off and they were partying, and so I actually spoke my first words in Portuguese because I was raised by live-in maids.
No shit.
Yeah, that was like my parents.
Do you know what it was? What'd they say?
Oh,
I
couldn't guess whatsoever. But yeah, by the age of three, I spoke three languages.
No shit. Okay.
Yeah, like English with my parents.
Can you still do it?
No, I forgot. I forgot two of them by the age of five.
That happened to me with Pinochle.
With what?
Pinochle. It's a card game. Okay. I love it. I've learned how to play it twice, but I don't play it enough, and I lose that ability.
Yeah, dude. But when I was in summer camp, 11 years old, some kids from Portugal, I think they said that I was speaking Portuguese in my sleep. Which is pretty crazy because, like, it's in there. But I hadn't.
Okay. Do you ever dream in any of the languages you spoke? No.
No, I wouldn't. Nothing like that.
Talking Portuguese in your sleep.
I mean, I did. I did when I was 11. And I had lost Spanish and Portuguese by the age of 5.
All right.
I was like 2 years old, moved from Rio de Janeiro in Brazil to Caracas, Venezuela, because dad got promoted to like whatever Pepsi in like Central America and like, I don't know. It was like he got more of it. And so I never even lived in America until I was 4 and went to kindergarten in Connecticut. Then moved when I was 6 years old to Miami. And
because your dad's working for Pepsi.
Yeah, when we moved to Miami, dad wasn't working for Pepsi anymore. He was working for R.J. Reynolds Tobacco. He was a fucking big tobacco CEO. And we lived in Miami for, well, like 3 years, 3.5 years. And then this was during the 80s.
But you're bouncing around, obviously.
Yeah,
so you're not
sure.
You're not meeting lifelong friends, sticking around communities, right. That sort of thing. You're being raised by nanny. So are you not close with your mom and dad at a young age?
It's not that. My mom was
they're just so fucking busy.
Mom was a hardcore alcoholic, and dad was perpetually traveling for business. So like, if there was less than the travel. Less than the moving, I should say, and switching schools and all that. I think the crazy part for me was like the inconsistency, because dad was not there. But then when he was there, he was like kind of super strict and like trying to maybe like compensate for not having been there.
Right.
And that just doesn't work. You can't have like no rules, like heavy rules. Like, you know, it can't be on and off like that. And, you know, dad traveled more and more, and mom got drunker and drunker. And as I grew up, like the house got bigger and bigger, because here's what was crazy during the 80s was when they really concluded that cigarettes were fucking like cause cancer, super kill you, real bad for you. And so in sort of a frantic scramble, the tobacco companies started buying up food companies, you know, because they wanted to kind of switch their eggs from one basket to another.
Right.
So it was like at the time, the largest corporate merger that had ever taken place was when R.J. Reynolds Tobacco bought Nabisco. You know, they're like investing in food. So this merger, it became RJR Nabisco. And that was dad's aberrationally good year. Dad was like a real player in that merger. And we went from like doing well, you know, dad went from doing well to being like fucking, you know, like, and so that was when I was in fourth grade. And we, for some reason in that whole deal, we moved to London, England. And
once you were in fourth grade?
Fourth grade. So halfway through fourth grade, I moved to London, England.
Damn, you've lived all over the place by the time you're in fourth grade.
Yep. End of sixth grade, we moved to Canada. So there I'm in fucking Canada. And then
that Pepsi's Mall of America all over. It's all over that place.
and we ended up then halfway through eighth grade moved back to London, and I stayed in London for all 4 years of high school at that point.
Oh, you graduated high school in London?
I'd graduated high school from the American school in London, England, and this was like a fucking badass school too. Like,
they have sports teams.
It wasn't that. It was like of my senior graduating class in high school at the American school in London, I believe 80% of the class went on to Ivy League schools.
Damn, 80%.
I believe that's true. It was some fucking privileged, like, you know, like the American ambassador to England, like, was in class with me. I fucking sold the guy weed. You know? There's like just like a lot of, you know, it was a heavy hitting deal. I was like a loser for going to the University of Miami, which is actually a pretty good school.
Yeah, it's a really good school.
And I wasn't ever like, I wasn't like a bad kid. I wasn't like even particularly a bad student. I was like B's and C's, you know? Mm-hmm. And then beginning of my junior year, 11th grade, I just was like, okay, I'm ready to fucking become a pothead now. Like, what's up? You know, like, and started smoking pot and taking acid and drinking. Like,
the junior year of high school?
Junior year of high school, yeah. I was 16. And it was just crazy, dude. My grades just fucking plummeted. I started getting fucking arrested and fucking hospitalized.
What's the first arrest?
First arrest. Well, in England, it was kind of a we got caught smoking weed one time, and like they didn't really arrest us, but we were apprehended. We were like, they took the weed and stuff. Nothing. Then another time, it was actually the night before graduation, I got locked up in the drunk tank.
What'd you do to get?
It was, I mean, dude, it was like the school. We would go to like fucking pubs in London, you know, and the drinking age was 18. Whether or not you're 18 didn't really matter over there. But it was like, you know, the pub was closing, like last call. Everyone finish up your drinks, and I've got this pint, and I'm like, I don't know if I said I was going to fucking throw the pint glass at the fucking wall, like at the pub itself, or I was getting ready to go do it. Like I pounded it, and like someone's like, dude, don't fucking throw that glass against the brick wall because there's a fucking cop standing right there. And I'm like, bah, and I fucking throw it anyway, you know, and like smash the glass. And then so, yeah, the cop grabbed me. I'll never forget this, too. This is, like, not a story that, I've told a whole lot. But I get locked up in this drunk tank, and this is the night before graduating high school. And they let me out at, like, 5 in the morning. And, like, I was still so fucking drunk that I was, like, a little bit in and out of a blackout still. And I vividly remember there being like a staircase to, like, I was in, somehow in there upstairs, and like as they released me, I walked like down, I stopped halfway down the fucking flight of stairs to exit the police station, and just fucking pissed all over this. I fucking sit there.
I didn't
and
see
I,
that coming.
And I'm just standing on the fucking stairwell, fucking pissing all over it. And I remember this fucking British Bobby, this British cop's all fucking pissed. He's super pissed. He fucking comes up to me. I remember him handing me a mop. He says, "Yeah, fucking mop it up, you bloody bastard," or whatever, fucking. And like, I'm like, oh shit. And I fucking like mop up the piss and get him back to mop, and I just continue out. You know, I was like, it wasn't like they locked me up again.
Yeah, right.
It's like, mop that up. Okay, I mopped it up, and then off I went. I went home. I guess I slept for a couple hours, and then there I was graduating high school with all these fucking smart, privileged kids. But yeah, I was
part of the 20%.
Yeah, dude. And that was kind of what I was like, man. Like, I was, started getting fucked up and started blowing it, man.
Let's take a quick break and tell you about our first sponsor, Coors Pure. Do you ever feel like living a healthy lifestyle is hard? Like, you try so damn hard to keep up with what's considered healthy, all right? Living a healthy lifestyle is important, but it shouldn't stop your enjoyment. That's when you reach for Coors Pure. Since it's all organic and has zero sugar, you can enjoy it without feeling guilty. Look, I'm a light beer drinker, always have been, and now that's a smarter light beer. It's all organic, tells you right on there, 92 calories, no sugar, USDA organic, all right? New Coors Pure is a refreshingly simple beer with organic barley, organic hops, and water. At 92 calories and zero sugar, it's the perfect beer to celebrate the wins of everyday life. Coors Pure is all about promoting balance and giving aggressive affirmations to everyday heroes. Coors Pure is the perfect beer to celebrate the wins of everyday life. So, when you want to enjoy a beer without the guilt, reach for Coors Pure. It's organic, but chill about it. Go to CoorsPure.com to see where you can find Coors Pure. I found mine in Target. You can find it everywhere. You don't have any excuses. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Albany, Georgia. When it comes to paying off debt, it can often feel like an uphill battle. High interest rates resulting in minimum monthly payments keep you in an endless cycle of debt. Upstart can help you get ahead. Upstart is the fast and easy way to pay off your debt with a personal loan all online. So whether it's paying off credit cards, consolidating high interest debt, or funding personal expenses, over 500,000 people have used Upstart to get a simple fixed monthly payment. Unlike other lenders, Upstart looks at more than just your credit score, like your income and your employment history. This means that they can offer smarter rates with trusted partners. And with a 5-minute online rate check, you can see your rate upfront for loans between $1,000 to $50,000. You can receive funds as fast as one business day after accepting your loan. Look, Upstart's here because you guys keep using them. And I've gotten so many messages from you guys saying that you're so glad you did it. You got one easy payment. Your interest rate's good. You're knocking it down. I wish I had something like this. I've told you before, I just kept spending it on credit cards. And you know how it is. You're paying that interest. You're not getting anywhere. Just do it. Find out how Upstart can lower your monthly payments today when you go to upstart.com/honeydew. That's upstart.com/honeydew. Don't forget to use my URL to let them know I sent you. Loan amounts will be determined based on your credit, your income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Go to upstart.com/honeydew. Now, let's get back to the do.
You know, like, my grades turned into fucking D's and F's, like, by the time I was in my senior year. So the only way I had gotten into the University of Miami was because I applied on early acceptance.
You know? Oh, they got you.
I applied at the very beginning of my senior year. And that was, like, when the wheels fell off. So, like, I was already into the University of Miami. I was like, all right, whatever.
How did you do in Miami? I mean,
that was when I really fucked up. I wasn't even – I mean,
Miami. My God. Okay, I can't even imagine.
Dude, within – and this is so great too. Like, there's a couple things that I've never really brought a lot of attention to. But the very first day that I showed up on campus at the University of Miami as a freshman was that night was Hurricane Andrew hitting Miami. And Hurricane Andrew was, like, the most devastating fucking hurricane, like, you know, maybe until Katrina or something. It was fucking gnarly. Yeah. And they had it on the Doppler graphs or whatever, and they're like, okay. I remember them telling us that first day, and I shared it with my dad, and they said, this fucking hurricane tonight is going to be huge. So this is your dorm room. Here's your bed. Don't even fucking open up your bags. Put them in the closet on the top shelf and fucking close the door. Hopefully they'll be okay.
Hopefully,
you know, like,
yeah, yeah.
Pretty much it was just like, at a certain time, like, whatever, it's going to be like 8 p.m. or some weird thing. They said, we are going to evacuate all of the dorm rooms into the hallways. You know, because in your dorm room is just not fucking going to be safe, period. So we will all be evacuated into the hallways at such and such a time. We're just going to have like a – we're just all going to be in the hallway. And I was like, man, that sounds like bullshit, dude. I don't want to –
your first night?
It was my very first night. Like, that was what we showed up to. And I was like, dude, that's fucking bullshit, dude. I'm not into that. So I went around for that whole day. Like, you know, meeting people, hey, what's up? And my first question was, hey, do you have an apartment? You know, like, do you have your own place? And, I met some guys, they had an on-campus apartment. And I said, hey, man, like, I know I don't fucking know you or anything, but, dude, I don't want to be in the hallway. I said, if you guys let me crash in your apartment, dude, I will buy all the fucking beer that you can possibly. And they're like, okay, cool. So I was not in my dorms, like, when the fucking evacuation orders took hold. I was fucking getting hammered with
strangers,
with my new bros, yeah, fucking, right, yeah. My new bros in the apartment area. And, like, as the fucking, like, 10 o'clock, like, 11, midnight, like, whatever, and the fucking shit's starting to fucking really blow around, like, we're fucking drunk off our asses, like, just cruising around campus, like, fucking with beers in public. And we're like, fucking cops are fucking hiding in hallways. We don't care. You know? We do whatever we want. And fucking there's this big lake on campus at the University of Miami. And like, I'm not going to say it was during the hurricane, because like when the hurricane really hit, trees were flying everywhere, you know? Yeah. But like way after you had to be evacuated, and while the fucking, it's more than your average storm, and I'm fucking swimming across the lake.
You're sweating off.
With one of these guys. With one of these guys. And I got in the water with my fucking full clothes, fucking jeans and everything. And like, I wasn't like, I'm not going to say I was a bad swimmer, but I wasn't like in swimming shape coming from England, you know? Like,
yeah.
And I'm like,
we're
fucking,
gators also. You're not even thinking of that?
I wasn't tripping about that, this guy like that I was with like kind of saved me. I'm like fucking drunk and like my jeans, and I'm not swimming so good, and like I'd like take off my jeans like mid swim, and the guy's fucking kind of helping me out. Fuck, but we made it across the lake, and then I was so fucking drunk, so, like when I passed out in these dude's apartment, like. I woke up and I was like, whoa, was it a false alarm? Did the fucking hurricane ever? And they're like, dude, you just fucking laid there asleep. No, you never even woke up. We were fucking freaking out, screaming our heads off, like trying to hold on to the walls because this whole fucking building was shaking.
And, like, you're just sleeping.
I never even woke up, not once, dude.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah, that's more detail than I ever told that story, dude. But yeah, I was super stoked, man. Fucking, that was my first day at the University of Miami. So then, the next day, fucking power's out. Like, seriously out. Like, there's not, like, we're having fucking warm beer fucking parties. Like, they're just like, we can't start the fucking school, like, with no power. Like, the whole fucking grid's fucking shot. Like, this is like, they're like, so they just announced, like, all right, we're just going to not start for like another 2 weeks or something. So just figure out what you're going to do. And I fucked off over to St. Louis where my sister was at and just chilled with her. Come back when the school is actually up and running. And so now classes start. Within 1 week of classes starting, I'm fucking so out of control, like with the smoking weed and fucking all the alcohol and everything. I come back to my dorm room, and there's like some fucking little thing on the door. Be like, all right, we have raided this room. Because the thing was that my roommate was like he was like an architecture student. He was like really fucking studious, all about like, you know, I think he was paying his own way to be there. He wasn't fucking around, and he couldn't sleep because I'm fucking screaming, ah, it's a fucking party, you know? So like, nothing against that guy. I mean, he did what he had to do. He was like, yo, fucking, get this fucking guy out of here, you know?
Like,
come in here, and I'll show you where all of his fucking little weed bags are and all of that. You know, those big ass, like,
it's in this Pepsi can and this Pepsi can.
Yeah. Dude, they had those things where you unscrew the can, dude. I use those like a motherfucker. But that, you know, those big old hampers, like it's like a blue canvas,
oh,
a big,
sure,
roll.
Yeah,
they had,
yeah,
one of those fucking things filled with fucking,
they
like
had that much
like beer cans and, yeah, fucking bottles, like, fuck, it was just like they used that shit to take all my fucking alcohol out of there and my weed and everything. And so that, with that raid,
that's like a laundry. You're talking about like a laundry,
yeah,
basket.
Laundry,
yeah,
laundry,
like
basket.
A prison,
yeah,
laundry,
I mean,
basket.
I wasn't there when
on
this
wheels
happened. I was,
yeah,
I wasn't even there when they raided the room. I was just told that that's what they, where they wheeled out all my shit in that. I don't know how full it was. But as a result of that raid, I got kicked out of that dorm. I was placed on final disciplinary probation within 1 week
one
of class.
Week.
Like,
1 week,
like,
at the U.
Final disciplinary probation, dude. One more fuck up and you're out. And so they relocated me. because obviously I couldn't be roommates with that guy anymore. They relocated me to this other dorm, this 12th story fucking, it was called the Towers, like this 12 story tower. And they put me on a floor with like all juniors and seniors, you know, like, so they thought, okay, and let this fuck up kid, let him be in the mix with like older students or maybe like fucking less partying and crazy. And these fucking guys are on the floor in the Towers, man. I was like, I forget. I was way up in the, like, towards the top. These guys saw how I was carrying on. They said, look, dude, we will throw you a fucking party. A party. We're not even really parties. We will throw you a fucking party if you manage to get so much as a 2.0 grade point average, which is like C's.
C's, yeah.
Yeah, you get straight C's.
Maybe and a B in there.
Yeah, yeah. We will throw you a fucking party. They
for real,
me.
They're going to throw you a party.
They said, the way that you are conducting yourself, we do not see a chance that you're going to break a 2.0. And I was like, whatever. But the thing was, and I learned this about college, is that my attendance was decent. That's the ticket, dude. If you go to class, then you know when to do the minimum amount of work. It's when you stop going to class that you don't even know when to fucking.
Right. You don't even know what they're
talking
about.
You don't even know when to do the minimum amount of work. So yeah. And like, I ended up getting, what did I get? I think I might have gotten, dude, and I know I have my transcript at home. I forget what it was. It wasn't a 2.9, but I don't know. Like, it was 2 point something.
And all you needed was a 2.0?
Maybe it was a 2.2. I don't fucking know. But I got better than – I know for damn sure I got better than a 2.0. But here's what happened. Right towards the end of that first semester – I met this chick, and she was in the on the floor below me. It was like guys floor and then girls every other, you know, boy, girl floor. And it started out like she was pissed because I was making noise or something, you know, like she was in the room directly below mine. She was like complaining about all the noise I was making above. And that was like how we fucking linked up. And this was my chick. So then like, I got the passable grades, but then,
so wait, the one guy complains about you and gets you kicked out, and the chick complains about you and hooks up with you.
Yeah, right. And this would be the chick that ended up fucking breaking my heart so bad. You know, like I came back that second semester, and I just lived in her dorm room. You know, I lived in her dorm room. I was so stoked on her. I just fucking like, I was, life is so good. I've got this rad chick. I'm fucking in Miami. I just stopped going to class, man. I just stopped going to class and I was just having fun. And then that semester, I ended up, I think with like a 0.79.
No. Point.
I didn't even get a 1.0, dude. I was under. I fucking, yeah, dude. It was bad. That was my second semester. It was a point something. Not even a 1.0. And this chick, like, she partied her fucking ass off too, but she took shit serious, you know? And she was just disgusted with me. And I fucking, like, God, my fucking grade point average, the average them together, my cumulative GPA is not good. And I come back the next, my family's still in England, right? And I'm fucking, so we got jobs, me and this chick, my girl, as summer camp counselors.
Okay.
Like in New York State. Yeah. She lived on Staten Island. So we're like New York. She's fucking, and her family, like her, they work so hard. You know, they work so hard and fucking like tons of jobs, like just crazy work ethic. And to really provide, she's got this nice bedroom with this water bed. We're going to be So we show up. And we showed up, and I showed up to her place. And the rule with her parents is like, okay, you have a boyfriend, that's cute. He's not sleeping in your fucking bedroom, right? We're not rocking it like that, you know. Like, and so this is the fucking worst. This is the fucking worst. We fucking go out. And my birthday is June 13th. It's the beginning of the summer. You know, we're getting ready to do this. And we go out. She takes me out for my birthday. And I'm alcoholic as fuck already. I'm already fucking three sheets to the wind. But on top of that, everyone's like, oh, it's your birthday. Cool. Let me get you a shot. You know, like, yeah. And so I'm like fucking went beyond what was. So if we come back to her house, I'm so fucking hammered. Like, we get, and I'm not allowed in her room, but she brings me into her bed. I told you she's got a fucking waterbed.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
She's got a fucking waterbed. And I pass out and I wake up and she's fucking furious. And we are fucking in her waterbed, like swimming in fucking, I've just been laying there just pissing. And I've been just pissing on her. I've been pissing on her. It's like creating a fucking, like a kiddie pool of piss that we're like fucking swimming in. And she wakes me up and like not even easily. And she's like, you fucking, she, I remember her just saying like, fucking deal with this, you know, fucking fix this. And so I realized, oh shit, I just fucking pissed all over her in her waterbed, which I wasn't supposed to be in to begin with. And so I'm like, all right. I don't know. She told me like the laundry room's downstairs, but she's got this big old duvet on the waterbed, right? And now my job is to go and fucking put that in the fucking.
How much of your piss have you cleaned up, brother?
It's not the first time in the middle of the night that
you got
to fucking
mop. Yeah. Or at jail or anywhere else.
Oh my God. I did it at my great uncle's house. I fucking pissed on the bed. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, living years later, but. I remember. So I come out now.
Duvet cover.
So I bring the duvet down to their laundry room, right? And this is like the laundry room where the washing machine like loads from the top. Mm-hmm. So you open it up from the top and it flips over, but it's got like a mechanism where so the machine knows if the door's open or not, you know, and it's on this like thing, right? So I open up the fucking the top fucking hatch or whatever, and it's open. Now I heave this fucking piss-soaked fucking duvet up on top to fucking load it into the washing machine. But it is so fucking heavy with all this piss that as I fucking heave the fucking thing on it, the top door of the washing machine, which was open, fucking breaks under the weight. It literally broke under the weight of the piss soaked duvet. So now it's fucking broken, and I can fucking get the piss soaked duvet in there, fucking, but that machine's not gonna run. And so I'm like, oh, well, this fucking fuck, you know, I don't even know how, I think we went to some other fucking room or whatever, like, I don't even know, but the mom gets up in the morning, oh, you know, maybe I'll have some coffee, oh, looks like the washing machine is broken.
It's like walking out to your car and the door's ripped off.
Yeah, the washing machine is broken. Here's a fucking piss-soaked duvet just that I got to deal with now. And like, oh, and that's because this fucking asshole has been fucking my daughter in the bed that we told him not to be in. You know? So the girl whose bed it was, my girlfriend, she says, you know what, dude? I'm not going to the fucking summer camp. I'm just not. You go and you fucking be a summer camp counselor and you fucking be rad. And, you know, I'm not going to do it. I'm backing out. I'm really not into it. So I go to the summer camp and I think I lasted 3 days.
Three?
I got real hammered. I got fucking, like, they didn't catch me.
How old were the kids you were working with? Like middle schoolers?
Dude, these fucking kids, like, oh, how old are they? They're, I don't know, maybe like 12 or something.
Yeah, that's the best age when you're there. Yeah.
And like, these fucking kids loved me, dude. They loved me so much that when I got fired, And they fired me just because they heard I was smoking weed. They didn't even catch me with it. Yeah. They didn't even find it. They had no proof, dude. They're like, hey, we can't have you smoking weed around the kids. You're gone. And the one activity on that whole summer camp that every fucking kid wanted, like when they have the free alternative hour where like you can go anywhere you want. The entire fucking camp goes to the go-kart tracks. And there's every fucking kid's at the go-kart tracks and they can't even get a ride because every fucking kid's there. And on the day that I got fired, like my cabin was assigned to the go-kart. So they had no crowd, they're fucking riding, and they loved me so much. They were so fucking bent out of shape that they were losing me. Maybe I lasted a whole week. I don't know, because I had a relationship with these kids.
Yeah.
They fucking went on strike. They didn't even go to the go-karts.
Nah, yeah, dude, they had your back, dude.
Yeah, they said, they were crying. Fucking, dude. They fucking went on strike. They said, fuck go-karts. Yeah.
I love it.
And so then... So then I'm like, oh fuck, I got fired. So like, you know, I tell my girl, like, hey man, like it's like she comes to like pick me up, and I'm like pretty sure that I'm just gonna, like, you know, I'll get a job while I'm staying at her place. And but it wasn't in the cards, dude. She was like, hey man, like, you gotta go, you know, you gotta go. So I went and spent the rest of that summer with my sister in St. Louis. And I was like, I come back from my second year at the University of Miami. And I'm like, there was no indication that I didn't have a girlfriend. You know, I probably could have suspected it. But I showed up to two fucking really, like, painful things, man.
Oh, man.
When I got to my dorm room, it said they have, like, a fucking construction paper on there. It says, like, it says Steve Glover, freshman. And I'm like, I'm a fucking sophomore, man. This is my second year. And then I realized, oh, I didn't get... I didn't get enough credits. Like, or like, I failed too much, like, 0.7. Or whatever it was, like.
Yeah, but so you never got your party.
Well, yeah, I can't remember if there was a party.
I wanted to say, because you had a 2 point, like, just close to a 9.
Yeah.
And then you fucked off, and it picked you under that 2.0.
Oh, it definitely did me under, yeah. But I think that the party was supposed to happen at the end of the first semester, and I just don't know that it did. I wasn't like, those guys couldn't hang with me anyway.
I'm not sure anyone could.
Right. So I find out I'm still a freshman. I don't know why that hurts so bad, but I find out I'm still a freshman. My girl shows up and she's like, nah, we're not together anymore. Like, we're broken up. And I'm just fucking like kind of heartbroken, man. I had never been heartbroken before. And I was like, fuck, dude. And that was where like the stunts initially, like, I mean, I like when I was blowing off class like that last semester, instead of going to class, I was at the pool, the University of Miami pool with the fucking like the killer diving board. And
wait,
stuff.
The actual pool, the swim team using and shit? You're just there just swimming?
I'm not swimming. I'm bouncing on the diving boards, like getting rad, fucking like skateboarding, you know? I really got into learning how to do flips and stuff on the diving boards. And so then... When I'm, you know, my girl breaks up with me and I'm like, all right, now I'm going to fucking, instead of going off the diving board, I learned the flips on the diving boards. Now I'm going to do them off buildings, you know, I'm going to fucking climb on buildings and fucking do flips into fucking creepy shallow pools.
Let me ask you this.
So this chick thinks I'm going to die.
All for a chick.
Yeah. I wanted her to be worried about me.
Prior to doing this.
Yeah.
The flips on the board at Miami. You weren't really doing that kind of shit prior to that?
I'd been making skate videos in high school.
But nothing like flipping off a building
Nothing like that, no.
So now you're taking this to the legit next level.
Now I'm trying to jump off buildings. I had like my drunken buddies and I, like one of the guys had like rock climbing ropes and fucking like, it's like, yeah, I'll take you. We'll go rappelling off the building. This is the only time I ever went to the fucking library on campus.
the rappel off of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And my buddies are like, fucking, we're all tripping on acid. We're tripping on acid trying to tie the ropes to the banister and shit. Like, there was a fucking cop car. One time we did it, a cop car was parked at the bottom, and we're up on the roof pissing onto the – so loud, the piss landing on the cop car. Fuck, you're like, fuck you. So now I'm, like, rappelling off buildings. I'm jumping off buildings. I'm like, fuck, I learned how to get fucking choked out real good, you know, like I start
trying – What's the first building you jumped off of?
At the first time, it was a three-story apartment building, and I only jumped off, like, the second-floor balcony.
That's still two stories.
Yeah, no, it was a second-floor balcony, so one floor up.
One floor up.
Yeah. Like the but it's only a five-foot-deep pool, and I'm 6 feet tall. So I've had to figure out, like, hit the water and curve in. Then I went up to the third-floor balcony, you know, and started jumping off there. And then I figured out climb on the roof, and
Jesus
I'm jumping off
Christ.
The roof. And
all on campus?
This happened across the street from campus.
Okay.
And then, like, dude, within that.
And were you liking it? You liked that adrenaline?
Initially, I was really just trying to fucking concern. You know, make her concerned. Dude, that 12-story tower, right? Like, dude, this was – so the 12-story tower, and I'm living on the 12th floor when I'm back there. Right. I don't know if I was on the 12th floor, maybe the whole time I was on the 12th floor, but it's notable because the stairwell was detached from the building itself. So you've got on every floor, there's a balcony. You know, you open up the door from the to like, and then there's a balcony, and then there's the stairwell.
Right.
Well, dude, I have footage from them because my granddad, and while I was with the chicken and with the waterbed, was when my granddad died. He was like a step granddad, and my mom's mom, who's married him, was such a gnarly alcoholic that fucking she just sat there and drank with the body.
Nah.
Like, I swear to God, she was like out of booze, and then she dealt with the situation. Yeah. And she fully.
Listen, he ain't going anywhere.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, yeah, straight. Oh, I mean, dude, my mom's family, every single fucking leaf on the tree is just straight fucking hardcore.
Dripping with fucking alcohol.
Dude, saturated. Saturated, dude.
Sap of
every,
alcohol.
Every dude, they're
out.
All dead. They're all
they
dead.
Are.
Like,
young too.
My mom, her sister, like.
And it was all from alcohol?
I mean, yeah, pretty much, dude.
Man.
Like, Yeah, dude, it's gnarly. It's fucking gnarly.
Let's take a quick break and tell you about our next sponsor, Liquid IV. When we push our body hard or we're just feeling run down, it's extremely important to take care of ourselves with the proper vitamins and nutrients. That's why Liquid IV created Hydration Multiplier plus Immune Support to maintain and strengthen your immune system. I've told you guys, I used Liquid IV all throughout Corona when I had it. I'm still using it. Even after these vaccinations, I was wiped out, tired. I've been using the immune boost, using the energy, and I love it. I've given them to Josh Adam Myers, using them now. Ash is using them. My Booker, Emily, everybody's using them here, and they love them. They keep wanting more. So I highly recommend Liquid IV, especially if you're into that sports drinks, you're out there being active or stuff. It's so easy to carry with you, take with you. Liquid IV can provide 2 to 3 times more hydration than water alone. It's the perfect balance to help you strengthen your immune system more quickly and effectively. When you purchase Liquid IV, you're joining their mission to help people live better lives everywhere. With every purchase, Liquid IV donates a serving of Liquid IV to someone in need. The company has donated over 10 million servings globally. All right, get your Liquid IV's Hydration Multiplier plus Immune Support in bulk at Costco or order online and get 25% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use code HONEYDEW at checkout. That's 25% off of anything you order when you get better hydration today using promo code HONEYDEW at liquidiv.com. Our next sponsor is EarthFed. Why EarthFed? Well, there's a lot of reasons why. But one of them is it's good for your gut. So it turns out if you don't put trash in your stomach, you don't end up feeling like trash. In other words, poison is poisonous, so they avoid it in their formulations. Right now, as a member of Night Pants Nation, you get 10% off the best-tasting, cleanest supplements out there, and you can also take your pick of free 12-week training programs written by a USA Weightlifting International team coach. Choose the body weight training for 12 weeks of workouts you can do at home, at the park, or in your parents' basement if that's where you're at. No judgment. Just get that work done, playa. If you're looking for mobility and strength, choose the free 12 weeks of Yoga Fit, which uses some equipment and some body weight training to keep you agile and supple like a cat. A combined 3 decades of coaching, food processing, and nutrition experience goes into every supplement they make, and they're so clean, they've got pro ballers and Olympians on the squad. EFM keeps it real because their parents, their kids make their chocolate milk with their whey protein. And I'll tell you what, every day I've been using the collagen. Ash took the protein powder. I'm using the collagen. I throw it in my breakfast shake every morning. I love it. It's great stuff. I even just throw it in water at the end of the night or tea. It dissolves. You don't even know it's there. It's super beneficial for joints, everything else going on. Head over to earthfedmuscle.com/honeydew and use discount code honeydew10 to get your free body weight or yoga fit 12-week training program, and you'll save 10% on your first order of grass-fed whey or collagen today. That's earthfedmuscle.com/honeydew and use discount code honeydew10. Now, let's get back to the dew.
And, It was that when I was there, like during fucking around, and so we went to like clean out, like whatever it was from my dead step granddad, and he had a video camera, and I got it. So now I got that fucking video camera from my dead step granddad, and like I'm videotaping. So I'm up, one of the first things I filmed, and this was fucked up. I'm on the balcony of that 12th floor balcony, and it's got the railing. With the fuck, you know, and I fucking to figure out like, okay, I'm gonna climb over the railing on the 12th floor.
Oh man, I got an anxiety just listening to this shit.
I'm gonna climb up, and I'm gonna climb down just and drop onto the 11th floor below, you know. Yep. And it was like just creepy, but dude, then I kept doing it. So
you went down all the way.
No, I just went from 12 to 11. After that, it was like, going to be
still
empty. Right. I went from 12 to 11, but then I started doing it where I climb over and my hands are on the rails, like toward at the top of the railing, right? Mm-hmm. And I just fucking kick my feet off and just sort of loosen my grip on my hands a little bit, so my hands slide down the rails.
Oh, Jesus Christ!
You know, Jesus. Dude, that's one. To this day, that's one of my favorite fucking clips, dude. I just put it in this. I just put it in a video on my YouTube channel. I posted it today on my IG. A video of why they call me Steve-O. And I was like, I was doing fucked up shit. And right when I say really dangerous shit, like it's me sliding down the 11th floor. But then because the stairwell is separated from the building. And there's like for the roof access, there's like a 13th stairwell, right? The 13th in the stairwell. Yeah. So I go up to the top of the 13th and there's like the door to the roof is locked, but there's a window at the top. And so I fucking smash out that window on camera. I smash out that window on camera and I climb out the window and fucking like, I don't even remember it being like a gnarly jump, right? But I climbed out the window and like over the balcony gap onto the roof from out that window.
Fuck.
Now I'm on the roof of the 12-story building and come around to the roof access door on the other from the roof side. It doesn't lock. So I go out there. I'm on the roof and I open it up and I'm like, yeah, come on in, dude.
Everybody can come
So out. Now we're on the roof. And like – and. I'd be like, oh, yeah, you guys want to fucking party on the roof? And I just go up and climb out the window I broke, open up the door.
Yeah, because you're the only one that's going to do that shit.
Right. But that, yeah, I got the key.
Yeah, there's no party on the roof without Steve.
But here's the – and, dude, like that was already – where I'm bringing chicks up there. Like we're just drinking on the roof. Like it's like fun, you know? But here's where it went too far. On the roof of the 12-story building, there was like another level there. Like there was another level, and from that other level came like this huge, tall radio tower with guy lines and stuff. So while we're up on the roof one night, drunk as shit, I'm fucking, I climb up onto that second level and I start climbing up the radio tower all the way up to the fucking top.
You're fucking insane.
Straight to the very top of the radio tower on top of the fucking 12-story building. And even though it's got all the guidelines, like this fucking thing swaying fucking one way or the other,
Jesus,
you know?
Christ.
And it's like night, it's dark and shit, but someone on the ground is like, that's someone climbing up the fucking radio tower on top of the fucking towers. Like, that's not okay. So they fucking call the cops, and I'm up there like fucking entertaining my fucking my party.
Like it's awesome.
Entertaining and fucking cops just come out onto the fucking roof, like from the roof access door.
So from your door, yeah, your key.
Yeah, well, I think someone
left it open. Yeah,
I don't know that I left it open. I think someone opened it up for him. But yeah, a bunch of cops come onto the roof, and so then they're like, "All right." And so then, and I was on final probation, so that
was it.
So I was out.
No, I got
kicked out of the dorms for that.
In your second
year?
I've said
for a million times, like, I've told them the story a million times, just that I was on final probation, got kicked out of the dorms, and my grades were so bad I just gave up. I up and left. So I fucked up at the University of Miami every way you possibly can, pretty much. But I've never, like, really told the story about climbing up the radio tower as much, dude.
You've
given
never...
me the gold on Honey
Thank
Dew.
You, brother. I appreciate it.
And so now I got
to wait, I got to ask. You've never fear of heights or any of that shit? Never?
Dude, I'm terrified of roller coasters.
Then why? How can you get up on something that's moving like that? Well, just
– I don't know, dude. Like, I'm an attention whore. That's my only explanation.
So if a girl – if you wanted to get a girl's attention, you would go on a roller coaster?
I mean, I don't like it.
Yeah.
I, you know. Like, on the Wild Boys show, they built me fucking, like, Condor Man wings.
Mm-hmm.
To make bungee jumping funny. They're like, just flap the wings, dude, you can fly. And I'm like, I can't jump off the bridge, you know? Like, there's no fucking way.
I was going to say, is there anything you'd said no to?
I couldn't do it. I was like, dude, I just can't do it. I was like, maybe because I've been jumping off shit, starting with like the little balcony and then the next balcony and then working my way up. Like, I've assessed like everything and like looking around, like, what can I jump off? And I'm just too close to the problem. Like, I don't care what you tie to me. Like, I can't look off a 200-foot bridge and jump. Like, it's just, I can't get past that in my head. And the same thing with, like, roller coasters. I don't fucking like it, man.
Well, they're designed, yeah.
Right.
I mean, that's science right there.
I know.
Just jumping off a bridge.
Yeah, I don't like it. But just there's something about all the shit that I did where I just kind of figured it out and worked my way up and, like, it sort of expanded my comfort zone or something, you know? So I kind of, like, understand these things. But yeah, I got kicked out of the dorms. Now I'm fucking straight homeless.
Now, does that mean out of the university or just off the property?
I could still attend classes.
But your
GPA I just wasn't.
Was, yeah.
I could still attend classes, but I wasn't allowed in the dorms.
Okay.
And dude, I wasn't even fucking trying, dude. This kid. That was like, I'm over it, dude. And he was fucking bailing out. And he had a van. He's going to drive from Miami to Northern California to, like, be a rad snowboarder. He's like, yeah, if you get a job on the mountain, you get a free lift pass and you live in the employee apartments. And I was like, right on, dude. I'm fucking rad. Let's go. And so we fucking went. It didn't really work out. And I ended up going to Texas and having the government test drugs on me for cash.
What kind of drugs?
Drugs for pigs and cows. Like the more dangerous the medical study, the more they pay you.
So if
you're gonna test out toothpaste, you're making like $20.
Right.
I got $2,000, pal.
I see. Yeah.
I got $2,000.
I see. Okay.
Fucking and
how long are you there? Like, what are the rules?
Was it 12 days? It was supposed to be
12
less.
Days.
It was supposed to be less. I think it was supposed to be 10 days, but the goal of the study was to give us this drug until somebody's resting heart rate like went over 150 beats a minute or something, you know, something fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
And what the drug was called ractopamine hydrochloride, and they were giving it to They wanted to make it legal to give to pigs and cows so that it worked like somehow like steroids, but like in another way. But to make the the cattle have less fat and more muscle.
Okay.
So that they could, like, ostensibly, like, kind of, you know, create leaner meat to appeal to a more health-conscious consumer. But the FDA hang-up was that if you do that with that cattle, then when people eat that meat, then this drug is going to enter the human body. So, and by that logic, now we have to test the drug to see, like, how much the human body can take.
I see.
So, yeah, like, so I was doing that. And there was this crazy episode with one of the guys in the study. There's only six people allowed in the study because they didn't want to do it to too many people. But one of the other six people was this, like, drug dealer dude from Killeen, Texas. And we're like, oh, we want to invest our money. We're going to buy a pound of weed and then fucking make it last. And so this guy was like, yeah, I can hook you up. We're staying at this guy's place, and he takes us to do the deal. But he goes out the back door with all our money.
Oh, shit.
And we fucking found our way back to his place because we drove. You know, I mean, this guy had met on
We drove.
Yeah, we drove, and we found our way back. That's in, you know, this guy fucking, it was just a bad scene, dude. It was a bad scene. I ended up coming back to the University of Miami and just being straight homeless. And like, this was now the beginning of 1994. And I was still living on campus, homeless, while the people.
Where would you go? Just.
Oh, dude. I would stay, like, on people's floors and stuff.
Yeah.
There was one apartment that in the student apartments, but this was like the athletic apartments. See, like, I'm at this point, I'm starting to get like more aggressive on my stunts. I'm like, I'm gonna be a fucking rad stuntman. And at the Olympic pool at the University of Miami, it's an Olympic factory. You've got the wall has like Greg Louganis, the most famous diver of all time.
Yeah, ever.
The diving towers are there. And at that time, it was the 95-96 school year. They had the number one, number two, and number three ranked NCAA platform divers.
Damn.
Living in the same apartment. With like there's four of them in there. There's number one, two, and three 10-meter platform divers and a random swimmer. Living in this apartment. And these guys were the fucking shit, you know? Like, they were like rock stars at the school, you know? My one buddy in particular, Brian Gulley, who was number one, he had just qualified first place and made first place at nationals, the national, junior national. He won 10 consecutive junior national titles.
Damn.
From like, yeah, they were like, these guys are badass. And they were partying like rock stars. And they fucking.
So you party with Louganis?
No, not at Louganis. Okay. Louganis had been there way before.
All right.
Yeah, these guys ended up with their murals. All three of these guys also got their murals like next to Louganis. Mm-hmm. But yeah, dude, so then these guys were fucking partying, we're all fucking, and I'm like this crazy fucking Steve-O character who, like, nobody really wanted me, like, sleeping in their place as much, like, but I was fun to have at parties and kind of thing. And these guys fucking fell in love with me, man. They fucking let me sleep on their floor.
The swimmers? The divers?
The divers. the most fucking elite divers. In the fucking they had me sleeping on their floor like a lot of the time.
And
and on top of that, they like took me under their wing and like fucking trained me, you know, like how to do like real like tight, solid, clean backflips.
Is that right?
And shit, yeah.
Okay.
And they had me fuck. I was already like walking my hands maniac. These guys had me like pressing up slowly, like and perfectly still to a handstand, like holding it still, fucking walking up and down stairs on my hands, like perfect backflips. And I turned that shit around, and started lighting myself on fire.
What a jump!
And doing.
Wait, what's the first time you ever lit yourself on fire?
Okay, we had one of our buddies at the University of Miami, and he would just, like, as a gag, he would fucking, blow fireballs, like, by the pool using a lighter
And, like I said, I've witnessed you fucking light your fucking head on fire. I refused to help you.
This guy, he would click a lighter and he would spit isopropyl rubbing alcohol onto the lighter. And it would make a big fireball. Well, in like 1996, right after I got out of this fucking 10-day jail sentence, you know, I fucking go and sign up for this radio station event where they're putting on a talent show. And I told them I'm Steve-O, the alcoholic gymnast. You know, I'm going to fucking get absolutely fucking whammied before the audience's eyes, like shotgunning beer after beer after beer. I've got different ways of shotgunning beers, but I'm going to, you know, I wanted to do a whole 12 pack. I ended up doing like, I don't know, like the 9 beers, you know, Budweiser's. And I was doing like shitty acrobatics and fucking, I go and I'm going to do a fireball at one point. Well, here's what happened, dude. I fucking clicked the lighter and I blew out the flame. So I had this like disappointing fucking.
Oh.
This disappointing didn't light. And it was like, I had these people in the audience be like, Steve-O! And while I was in my 10-day jail sentence, I had been like thinking, man, dude, I'm really getting rad now. You know, I'm getting really fucking rad now. I got like a company giving me clothes, fucking, you know, I'm getting somewhere, dude. I got a career. And I'm like, but do I want to be Steve-O? Like, that's the fucking question. Do I want to be Steve-O? And I got my hands on some fucking papers, and I wrote my jailhouse memoirs in March of 1996. March of 1996, and I wrote, the first thing I wrote, I said, they call me Steve-O, but I'm thinking about switching back to Steve Glover because now I've begun kind of a career, and I don't know if I want a nickname when I'm famous. But then I'm doing the radio station thing. I'm chugging all the beers and the crowd screaming, Steve-O! I'm like, there's no fucking way anybody will ever scream, Steve Glover! And so that was when I decided I'm going by Steve-O as my deal. But I had him fucking, I had him on my side. They were stoked. It was just fucking rad. They're screaming my name. And then I blow the fucking the lighter out with the rubbing alcohol. And it was just fucking, it killed me. But I fucking regret it. I did this show 2 nights in a row as well. So maybe it was the next night. But I wanted to be like kind of more careful and whatever. At some point, I think on the second night, I go and I fucking click the lighter. And now what I did was I lit it, but I spit the alcohol all over my hand. So the fireball ignited, and I'm like, yes, sweet. Not even, I'm oblivious. I don't even realize, but as the fireball lit and then now it's over, I feel, oh shit, my hand's on fire, you know?
Yeah.
I turn my hand, I'm like, oh fuck. So I'm like, you know, I shake my hand out and it comes out and I'm like, whoa, you know, like what was notable about it was that my hand didn't really get burned, you know, like maybe a little, but like, it was sitting there on fire real good, and the rubbing alcohol is like thin, kind of like burns light sort of a deal. And then I thought about it. I put it all together. I was like, dude, I never want to be in a situation where I fucking fail on blowing ever again. So I said, what if I start out by pouring, just deliberately pouring rubbing alcohol? What if I just pour the rubbing alcohol on my hand and then light my hand?
Fuck.
And I use that as my torch? I'm not blowing that out. And I'm never going to fuck. Now I've got a torch and it's my fucking bare hand, which is awesome and reliable. And so I start doing it like that, like off my hand. And now I've got my backflips all fucking super tight. So then I'm thinking like,
that shit never blew back in your face or anything.
When other people were blowing it off my head, I burned
my
face.
That's why I didn't want to do it. But if I remember correctly, man, you put conditioner. You combed a bunch of conditioner.
Then what that means is that I was doing it every night.
You did every night.
Yeah.
Every fucking night. Pantene conditioner, I feel like.
I was trying to not let my hair burn all the way because I needed to keep some hair around.
Yeah.
Just so I could keep lighting it. Right.
You got chicken tenders to sell out there.
Yeah,
man.
Dude.
Yeah.
And so, dude, I forgot my backflips tight, and I'm like, all right, now I can do killer backflips. What if I light my hand on fire, I got my mouth full, and then as I swing my arms into my backflip, I jump, and fucking as I tuck, I blow a fireball.
Oh, my God.
So I straight up invented the simultaneous fire-breathing backflip. And when I fucking got that, then I was pretty fucking reliable, dude. Like,
yeah.
I pulled it, you know? I pulled it in a big way. And that was before I started lighting my head on fire. But I ended up moving out to Albuquerque. My sister's living in Albuquerque now, or whatever. That's when I got serious about shit. Now, fucking in Albuquerque, there's a radio station there. They said they got a freak of nature contest. And so I call them up and I say, all right, I'm going to join your freak of nature contest. I said, I'm going to get stripped down to my underwear, and I'm going to douse my entire body with rubbing alcohol and have my buddies with torches fucking ignite my entire fucking body. And then I'm going to do a perfect standing I'm going to do a perfect standing backflip, and I'm going to fucking and then my buddies are going to put me out with a blanket. And dude, Albuquerque is a different place. they were like
bringing that shit on.
Yeah, and dude, I find that it's so crazy that these stories I'm telling you are like I mean, literally when I was on the way over here, I fucking check this shit out, dude. What's your name? There I am with the fucking. That's the cold open.
Yeah, holy shit!
Yeah.
Your whole body is
yeah.
That's the Albuquerque radio station.
Yeah, you can find it on that was in Albuquerque. Yeah, you can find that on YouTube in a video. I called it "Why They Call Me Steve-O," and you can find it on my Instagram. It was about a couple weeks ago I posted it.
All right, so I get, you know, wanting the attention from the girls and everything. How much of this is also wanting that from your parents or?
I wouldn't doubt that, you know, you don't have to be Sigmund Freud to figure out that, like, you know, mom was drunk and dad was absent, you know.
Did
like,
it work, though? I mean, did you?
I mean, I don't know. Like, and I don't even know how much I want to assign to like, you know, the family dynamic. I could have very well just been a fucking alcoholic attention whore no matter what, you know.
With talent, though.
Yeah, who knows, man. I don't know that I ever had that much talent, but I had, like, my dad's side of the family. My dad, like I said, he was a hustler, mm-hmm. dude. My dad came from a long line of academics. His dad was a zoologist. A fucking like decorated like war fucking hero type mm-hmm. dude. They had nobody on my dad's side of the family has less than a PhD. You know, like
oh,
they're
really?
University professors, yeah. theologians, clergymen, fucking zoologists, like honor, fucking low earning. And my dad was a little bit of a black sheep for being the first person in the family to go into business. Like, what are you, some kind of greedy capitalist? Like, we're, like, fucking good people.
Well, if he's a black sheep, what the fuck are you then?
Right.
Yeah, what exactly. do you consider?
And while my dad's dad was, like, serving honorably, like, winning fucking, like, Valor Awards or whatever, like, as a colonel in World War II, my mom's dad was dodging the draft and becoming like really rather wealthy, selling bootleg gasoline because for like during wartime, they had rations, you know, like even if you can afford it, we don't care. We're at war. And so you can only buy so much gasoline. And so my mom's dad was like a Dodge drafter, bootlegger, alcoholic gambler, and he became like fucking a millionaire, I think, doing that. But then he gambled away all of his money and blew his brains out when I was 1 year old.
Oh, fuck.
See, I come from fucking.
You got both sides of
it. Dude, so I've got my dad's like hustle, mm-hmm. and my mom's like fucking deviance and fucking. Yeah. And my mom, like, to be fair, she was the one with the sense of humor, the fucking intelligence. Yeah. Alcoholics can be some fucking intelligent, like charismatic people. You know?
Yeah, alcohol doesn't care if you're dumb or smart, right. or kind or
hard.
Yeah, just.
But yeah, so it's pretty rad how like everything worked out for me that like it's just so evident that I'm this fusion of these two bloodlines, you know.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, and I got like I'm the only one I think from my mom's whole family that ever got sober. You know, at least like for a long term. I just turned 13.
So the only one on your dad's side without a doctorate and the only one on your mom's side that got sober. Good for you, bro. Good for you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for coming on. Before we let you go, I want to ask you, I mentioned at the top before we recorded, advice you would give to your 16-year-old self. Now that we've talked about what you've talked about coming up.
I mean, it's interesting like how – I'm so active with like my digital presence, you know, like my YouTube, my fucking, and I make all these videos like for a good couple of years now. I've been cranking out these like super polished like sort of story videos that really like where I mine through like the footage I've been filming since I was 15 years old, you know, like mm-hmm. it goes back that long.
Wow.
Now I'm 46.
That's the camera where you put the VHS in that motherfucker.
Right. Like, I mean, it wasn't my first video camera that I got from the dead step-granddad.
Yeah.
That the first video camera I got was the one that my dad won in a corporate golf tournament. And I stole it from his closet. And before you knew it was gone, like, I already, like, edited a skate video and showed it to my dad. My dad was like, fucking badass, dude.
Yeah, take it. Yeah,
there right. you go. So I've got footage going back for, like, 31 years. And I like, go through, and so much of it is just fucked up drugs and, you know, like, I'm mm-hmm. out of control. And so I get some criticism for and not even criticism, but a lot of it's just, like, you know, objective observation that – like, hey, man, like, you know, as a sober guy, here you are, like, really exploiting, like, all of this dark, like, you know, like, in a way celebrating all of this fucking, you know, really unhealthy, toxic alcoholism and drug addiction, like, in this footage and putting it out there, like, check out how entertaining it is, you know, and, like, some people think that that's not rad. And so other people say, hey, you know, like, it's
I mean, you're celebrating the survival of
right.
that nonsense.
Me too.
Yeah,
and
of
dude, course. Don't think for one second that I have an issue with it. I don't. Yeah. And there was somebody who left a comment. Somebody said, like, hey, man, you know, like, I know that you're really proud of being sober. And I wouldn't say proud as much as just grateful. You know, I'm grateful for being sober. But you know, like, it's really pretty evident that like drugs worked for you, like obviously, you know, your experience got you where you were at.
This is what I like to hear. Yeah,
you know,
so
like,
what would you say?
And I said to that to the kid who left that comment, I said, you know, like, I said, yeah, I don't. I said, drugs worked when it was working for me. Drugs were good. Drugs and alcohol were great. You know, like. And then, but just got to a point where they turned on me, you know, and it wasn't working anymore. And thank God, like, they turned on me so bad, it got so fucking awful that I had to do something about it. And now, as a result of that, I'm here, I'm in this great place. Where the worst thing that could happen, I think the worst thing is if you have, like, alcoholism, kinda.
yeah.
Where you've got it. Enough for it to fuck up your life and prevent you from achieving your goals mm-hmm. and fucking up your relationships, but it's not so bad that it has to be addressed. So it just goes on and on for years, and the years turn into decades, and then you're fucking old, and you're like, shit, what did I do? I blew it.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's why I say all the time, I'm grateful that I've got alcoholism so fucking bad that I don't have to wonder if I got to do all these things that sober people do.
Yeah.
Yeah, and because I do all the things that sober people do and I stick with that crowd, like I'm able to really be focused and accomplish it. So this is a long way of saying that I'd be really fucking careful if I had an opportunity to send a message to a 16-year-old me. I'd be really fucking careful with the space-time continuum. Because I can't tell the kid not to fuck up because it's going to work real
good.
You
could tell him to wear like a fucking rubber underwear or some shit, diapers.
Here's what I would say is be really fucking diligent about flossing your teeth and taking care of the health of your gums and your teeth. Because like... I have a genetic predisposition to not the best fucking teeth and gums health. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, and this isn't just advice to my 16-year-old me. This is advice to the entire fucking world, is that some people can get away with not flossing and some people cannot get away with it. And I fell into the latter category. I could not get away with it. And what that means is that as a result of not flossing and not taking care of my shit, I got bacteria in my mouth. Now, we've all had this experience where you're talking to somebody and there's just a fucking odor coming out of their mouth. And this is not bad breath in the, like, conventional, like, you know, way that we're used to where it's coming from inside. No, this is just... like fucking dead shit back to like something something just died and behind your tooth, and all the perfectly good breath coming from out is just pushing this bacteria out. And like no amount of brushing can do that. I remember when my mom was alive and I was like allowed in her house, she would say like, dude, your fucking breath is disgusting. I'd be like, Mom, I just brushed my teeth like 5 minutes ago. She goes, yeah, your breath is fucking disgusting. Like when you have this bacteria, no amount of brushing is going to make it go away. You know, like, and I had that for a long time, dude. I had that for a long time and I just didn't understand it. You know, I would brush more and it wouldn't do anything.
Right.
One time I was getting in the van with all the Jackass guys and Wee Man goes, oh, dude, Steve-O, your breath. And Knoxville says, saying Steve-O has bad breath is like saying Wee Man is short. It's just how, you know, and like we live in this culture where for some reason it's not okay to tell somebody that their fucking breath is. I encounter these people, you know, like, and I want to tell them like, hey, look, you gotta this thing. I can smell this thing, and I don't want to make you feel bad, but I'm telling you that like. You've got, you know, like a bacteria. You can't smell it on yourself, but you've got like a bacteria in your mouth. And like, and what I need you to do to understand this is like, get some dental floss and just run it like through your teeth and then smell the floss. And if you have the bacteria, it's going to be on that fucking floss. You're going to smell it and you're going to be like, oh my God.
I used to be so insecure when I had braces because on not just the rubber bands here, but they would put them around it. And when they would pull that thing off to change them and tighten it, and it would just lift it in front of my nose. Oh my God. It would fuck it. I'd be like, that's a month of food on that fucking thing.
Yeah. It's gnarly. So like, and I just didn't figure it out. It was after I got sober that I figured it out. I went to a dentist and the dentist just had that talk with me. He was like, hey, you know, you got this fucking bacteria. It's like, you know, we got to do a deep cleaning to get it out, and then you just got to not fuck around. Mm-hmm. And I had gum recession really bad. I'd fucking had like not countless, but like numerous like gum graft surgeries, and damn, that shit sucked. I had bone graft surgeries from bone loss. I had the years of my fucking. It's just take care of your teeth and gums,
take care
dude.
Of your teeth and gums.
It's all I want to tell that 16-year-old kid. Other than that, fucking let it ride. let it ride.
Plug everything, whatever you want to get.
Yeah, dude, I'm easy, man. Like, stevo.com is where it's at. And, you know, like, my book, dude, that's what I saw at stevo.com is my book. It's called Professional Idiot. And I just had to say, I think it's the best fucking thing I've ever, you know. It, like, as a book, it's got 5-star average rating on Amazon, which is like pretty unfucking heard of.
Yeah, it is.
And It's just it's hilarious. It's fucking crazy. It's like inspiring. It's just like, you know, like my story is fucking intense, and I made it that way on purpose. And here I've got this really fucking juicy ass book, and the copies that I sell from my website, stevo.com, every copy's autographed.
Nice. All right.
And dude, I was signing these fucking autographs for years before I realized that even the way I was doing it, Steve-O, that the O like looks like the head of a dick, and that like it's just like I'm drawing a dick when I do my fucking signature. And so now, like, I call it a dickograph, and I do it, like, really deliberately. I make my – so, yeah, it's like it says Steve-O clearly, but it's also, like, got a fucking dickhead with the shooting.
Nice.
I love it.
All right. Well, yeah. Thank you for coming on, man. For
real. My pleasure, man.
This was a great time. As always, RyanSickler.com on all social media. Ryan Sickler, talk to y'all next week.